Good evening, Bruce. Welcome to the Space Show.
Thank you, Andrew. It's a pleasure to be here.
What is the Australian Space Office?
Australian Space Office now is the executive arm of the Australian Space Council, the body that develops Australia's long-term space plan, authorises the letting of contracts and the spending of money to pursue that plan. And very importantly, the office operates a large NASA tracking station in Australia.
Now, you've had quite a big role to play in the development of the Australian space industry. What have you been actually doing there?
Well, you flatter me, I suppose. I think the space industry develops on the boldness of its technologists and its investors. But we've certainly, in the space office over the years I was there, tried to assist the industry. We placed contracts in a way that hopefully gave them new capability and new technology. We shared with them the cost of feasibility studies on commercial proposals. We teamed with them in projects where we could provide non-financial support from government to assist them in pursuing commercial ideas, and we shared with them the cost of developing new technologies that were leading towards comparative advantages. And I think with our encouragement, the industry has made considerable progress over the last 5 or 6 years. It has demonstrated a capability. It is much more cooperative amongst the companies involved. And it is now selling space technology commercially in other parts of the world, which we were not doing 6 years ago.
What are some of the strengths and weaknesses of the Australian space industry?
I suppose the biggest weakness is it's small and it's not integrated. And around the world, the space industry is large and it is becoming more integrated. Its strengths are that we have some very bright engineers and scientists who have demonstrated not only an ability to build, design and build space hardware, but who have done so in many occasions in an innovative way, which has given them a competitive edge over their competitors in other parts of the world. So as in many areas of technology, Australia can compete with the world. Unfortunately, the investors in Australia are not familiar with investing in space yet, and we hope they will become so.
Well, Bruce, do you think Australian industry should proceed towards development of satellite vehicles or launch services or of value-added services on the ground?
I think we need to be very careful in selecting our objectives. I'm absolutely convinced that Australia is capable of building instruments and telecommunications equipment to fly in space and can do so probably as well as anyone in the world. That doesn't necessarily mean we have to build our own satellites. It's a big jump from building an instrument to fly on someone else's satellite to building your own. Similarly, I am convinced that Australia has some comparative advantages that open up the opportunity to provide commercial launch services of various sorts into the geostationary orbit, into the low Earth orbit, and so on. That doesn't mean that we have to build our own rocket. In fact, I would believe that if we tried to build our own rocket, we could never produce a commercially successful business, because all of those rockets have been developed as part of military programs and then converted to civil use. We don't have a military program of that sort. We don't have a government demand which would warrant that investment, and it certainly cannot be done on the basis of private money. So launch services, if they are to be offered in Australia or from Australia, would be offered with rockets bought from somewhere else, either in whole or in pieces and put together in Australia, and that's probably the only economical way to do it. Services on the ground, certainly we have demonstrated in so many fields how good we are at ground services. In telecommunications, for example, not only does an Australian company have the contract from Intelsat to manage their satellites over the Indian and Pacific Oceans, but Australian companies build and sell telecommunications ground stations in Asia and in Australia. In remote sensing, we are building an Australian ground station. We have built equipment for ground stations. We are very clever in processing remote sensing information and in applying it. So there are many areas in which value added and commercial profit can be had from being clever on the ground, and we are clever on the ground.
We've put instruments on European satellites. How was the Australian government involved in that project?
We've got one signal processing black box, if you like, on the European Space Agency's ERS-1, which was launched in July of 91. That was negotiated before my time, but I think largely between CSIRO and the Australian Space Board on the Australian side, and the British National Space Centre and the Rutherford Appleton Laboratory on the British side. From Australia's perspective, the purpose was twofold. One was to secure a place in that mission, and the mission is flying a radiometer which measures sea surface temperature to unprecedented levels of accuracy, a very important scientific mission because it allows Australian meteorologists and oceanographers for the first time to start to understand this so-called southern oscillation that brings us droughts and South America floods. But it also was undertaken with the purpose of giving Australian companies, one in particular that won the contract, the experience of building space-qualified hardware. What do I mean by space-qualified? An instrument that has to fly in space, first of all, has to be rugged enough to survive the very high noise levels and extreme vibration of a rocket launch, where an enormous amount of energy is released in a very short time and everything shakes and there's a terrifically loud noise. Secondly, it has to operate in space for years without anybody going up there with a soldering iron or a screwdriver to fix it. It has to operate in vacuum. It might get as hot as 200 degrees and it might get as cold as minus 200 degrees. So the demands are very extreme, and the ability to build to those requirements is an important one, which enabled Australian companies then to supply equipment commercially to people who build large communication satellites. So we had a number of purposes. Then, having successfully completed that exercise, we then undertook a rather larger piece of the successor instrument on a successor European program, and we've now delivered those parts. One was a large computer to be on the ground, and the other was a very small but expensive piece of hardware which is right at the centre of the instrument. Importantly, we didn't do the same thing again that we did the first time. We did some different pieces, so we got some different experience. And we've now negotiated with the British with respect to the third generation of that instrument, which will fly about 1998, and this time we will be joint owners. We will own 30% of the instrument, and that's another important step towards the capability of building our own instrument, which we hopefully will do before the end of this decade.
Well, Bruce, thanks for joining us tonight on the Space Show.
It's a real pleasure, Andrew. Thank you for the invitation.